Phil, tell us how you conducted your research in the Middle East.
Well, do you want the long version or the short version?
The medium version, I guess. Okay. The one you're the most comfortable with.
Okay. Well, I was over there. I was in Israel in 1995, and I was actually doing research on the Knights Templar, which is a fascination I have fascination with. And I kept on hearing stories about an ancient race of people that existed a long time ago, and they started, people started saying, well, they were called jinn. And I was just asking stories because I was just asking about legends and finding and so on. And they said, well, we don't really know too much about the jinn here. All of that information is lost. And when I was in Tel Aviv and I went to Jerusalem, and I had a friend who I served with in the military who was in Vietnam, and he stayed in the military and became very high-ranking military. He ended up, when he retired, because of his background, ended up a high-ranking officer in charge of security at the royal family in Saudi Arabia. So from Israel, I telegraphed him and said, I would like to come into Saudi Arabia. I'm doing research. I got fascinated with it. I know that's the place to go to find the legends of the jinn. And immediately he sent me a telegram and said, come on over, I'll arrange it so you get in the country, no problem. And so I land in Riyadh, and it's so strange because I'm going through customs, and all of a sudden the customs officer, he looks at my passport, he looks at me, and he waves for guards to come. And the strange thing, I says, oh my gosh, I know what is going on here. And the people behind me in line, they start backing away. And he gets on the computer, and he just instructs me to go into this room, to sit down.
And they're trying to figure out who
and
are
I'm trying
you,
to figure
right?
out what the hell is going on
yeah.
here. Because what happened is that was the time when the king had a stroke, and the government was very concerned about being overthrown.
Okay,
I think maybe
sure.
he was overthrown already.
Right.
So to make a long story short, my friend Jack wanted to take me out of the customs things and bring me over, and they picked me up in a limousine. First, that I thought I was going to prison, but anyway, he arranged. He said, "We're having dinner tonight with the royal family, and not the king, but one of the princes who didn't show up. By the way, one of the cousins did." Well, to make a very long story short, and all this protocol I had to go through and everything, I was sitting at the table at dinner, and it was the cousin of the prince, and I can't remember his name, but he was some type of minister, and because everybody was calling him Excellency. And over there, you're not supposed to talk to anybody of the royal family unless they address you first. So I'm sitting at the dinner table, and my friend's with me, and so on, and the prince looks over, the cousin of the prince looks over to me and says, "You are an American. Why are you in my country?" And I said, "Well, I'm here studying the jinn." And he gets all excited and he goes, "The jinn?" And everybody on the table just looked his way. And he says, "I can tell you about the jinn. They are in my country. They come into my country from their world. And your government is trying to capture them."
What?
I said, "What?" And he began to tell me a story that there's a group of international black ops, whatever you want to call them, secret organization that is composed of Saudis and other Middle Eastern country, plus people from Great Britain and certain other countries of Europe and the United States especially, that is trying to capture a jinn and trying to get the technology that they have for crossing the dimensions. Now, this kind of surprised me because...
And he was dead serious, wasn't he?
Oh, he was dead serious. And then I asked him, did they ever catch one? And he said he doesn't know because that is a matter of the highest security, and he's not privileged to that information. He said, but he can tell me where to go to find out about the jinn. So he directed me to and then he said that our conversation is over, and he started interacting with the other, and he started talking in Arabic to my friend Jack, who understands it. I don't understand the language. And after dinner, I said, "Well, what did he say to you?" He says, "Well, he wants me to take you to a holy man who lives on the other side of town, and this man has all the knowledge of the jinn." So Jack arranged for his lieutenant, his captain, to take me that morning to this holy man, and I was briefed before going, and I had to dress, take, I got out of my American clothes and dress in more traditional clothes because I was a target as an American, because it was not a safe part of the town. You have to remember, in the city over there, they have two classes of people, the extremely rich and the extremely poor.
Right, right.
So we went to this building, and he told me it was at one time a mosque or a holy building. It was 300 years old. And he said, when you go in to the holy man, you can ask one question, but don't get into a discussion with him. And I went in, and he was smoking some type of water pipe. I don't know how old this person was.
A hookah, I call it. It's a hookah.
A movie. And I started asking about the jinn and asking about all of these questions, and he started giving me all these answers, giving me the history of the jinn and giving me all these legends and telling me the stories. And after a few hours, he said he was tired, and I was having it all translated because he didn't speak English. But he told me that there was a place in the country of Oman, of a place called Majlis al-Jinn. And that translates into the meeting place of the jinn, which was a cave where the jinn were enter our world, and the jinn are sort of like captive in this enormous cave.
Interesting. Almost like that's where a portal is, huh?
Right, exactly. So, of course, I had to go and see this place. And luckily, you know, having the connection now, everything was arranged to go to Oman and go to the cave of the jinn. And it was an adventure for me. And I wrote a whole chapter just about in the book about it. And now the strange thing happened there. We went to the cave of the jinn, the Majlis al-Jinn. And this place was like off limits to everybody who would go there. None of the locals would go there. But when I was in one of the villages, I think Hajar in the Hajar Mountains, I was talking to a teacher who spoke very good English, and he was Arabic, and he told me that while hiking through the mountains one day, he encountered a janiya, a female jinn with her child, and he said he was terrified. He said, but what happened next, he said, was even more terrifying. He said helicopters appeared, and he said government agents from Saudi Arabia and his country and Americans took him to a base in the mountains and debriefed him and asked him exactly what he saw, the encounter exactly, and he said they were interested in capturing the janiya. Now, I said, oh, my gosh, I just heard a story like this. Now, and I said, well, can you elaborate? Give me more information. He said, no, they told me not to say anything. He said that he was more afraid of these government agents that were trying to capture this jinn than the jinn.
Interesting. Now, and it's one of the biggest caves in the world, isn't it?
Yes, it's one of the biggest caves in the world. As a matter of fact, you can fit the Pyramid of Giza in this cave. But the fascinating thing is that shortly after that, in the 1990s, it became open to tourists. And then the government, the Ministry of Oman, closed the cave. They even filmed a commercial in there, a car commercial. They closed it down. No one's allowed there now.
What happened?
Well, they cite that no one ever got killed there or hurt there, but they cite that the cave has been closed down because of safety concerns. But the thing is that according to what the people say over there and the stories, is that the government closed it down because the jinn are there and they established themselves